Welcome and thank you all for standing by. All lines will be on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. At that time, you can press star 1 to ask a question from the phone lines. I'd also like to inform parties that the call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I'd now like to turn the call over to Mr. Benjamin Haynes. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Sarah. And thank you all for joining us for today's telebriefing regarding CDC's 2020 novel coronavirus response. I'm sorry, 2019. We're joined today by Dr. Nancy Messonnier, Director of CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, and health officials from the state of Washington. Dr. Messonnier will provide opening remarks before taking your questions. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Messonnier.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us. During our briefing last Friday, I foreshadowed that we could see a novel coronavirus infection in the United States, most likely in a traveler from Wuhan. Today, I'm joined by representatives from the state of Washington to announce that we have now confirmed the first case of novel coronavirus in the United States. CDC has been proactively preparing for an introduction of the virus here. We know that today's news is concerning. I'm grateful with the work being done at all levels within the federal, state, and local levels to prepare and respond. Based on international reports, there are now close to 300 people who have been confirmed with this novel coronavirus in China, and there have been travel-associated introductions in Thailand, Japan, Taiwan, and South Korea. Additional deaths have also been reported. Human-to-human spread has been confirmed. How easily or sustainably this virus is spreading remains unknown. These new developments further emphasize CDC's proactive approach in responding to this evolving outbreak. In terms of our response, over the weekend, CDC finalized development of a real-time reverse transcription polymerase chain reaction, abbreviated as RT-PCR, to test that can now diagnose this new virus. We used this test to quickly confirm our first U.S. case. Right now, we are testing for this virus at CDC, but in the coming weeks, we anticipate sharing these tests with domestic and international partners. Yesterday, we acted at our Emergency Operations Center in response to the newest developments. I know a lot of you are likely wondering about the entry screening that we started on Friday at San Francisco Airport, New York JFK, and Los Angeles Airport. So far, CDC staff have screened over 1,200 passengers. However, no individuals have been referred to a hospital or discovered yet through entry screening. This is an evolving situation, and again, we do expect additional cases in the United States and globally. This week, CDC will add entry health screening at two more airports, Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson and Chicago O'Hare. Today, we will also be raising our travel health notice from a level 1 to a level 2. Preliminary information suggests that older adults with underlying health conditions may be at increased risk for severe disease. I'm now going to hand the briefing over to my colleague, Washington State Secretary of Health, John Weissman, who will introduce key players in Washington State and outline what the public health system is doing in response to this case. Dr. Weissman?
Great. Thank you, Dr. Messonnier. Appreciate that. Hello, I'm John Weissman, Secretary of Health for the State of Washington. I first want to begin by recognizing the quick collaborative work being done with our local and federal public health and healthcare partners. Over the holiday weekend, this group of people quickly identified a possible risk, coordinated the patient's care, sent samples to CDC, and CDC tested them immediately. Together, we are implementing actions to ensure the public's health is protected. I'm also thankful that the man who tested positive for this virus acted so quickly to seek treatment. Because of that, we were able to isolate him away from the public. His actions gave us a head start. All of this work means that we believe the risk to the public is low. It's true that we are learning more about the new coronavirus. We have a strong public health team here in Snohomish County and Washington State. And together with our partners at CDC, we will share any additional information as we learn it. To give you information about the situation, I'll hand it over to our state infectious disease epidemiologist, Dr. Scott Lindquist, and Dr. Chris Spitters, the health officer from Snohomish Health District, who will tell you more about the current situation. Dr. Lindquist.
Yeah, thanks. This is Scott Lindquist, the state epidemiologist for Washington State, and just want to remind everyone how we had anticipated screening. And so our system was ready despite a holiday weekend. I'm thrilled to say that we were able to detect this gentleman early. This is a man in his 30s in a county north of Seattle, Snohomish County, and we have been in close contact thanks to the CDC, the Emergency Operations Center, helping direct the appropriate specimen collection, isolation, and investigation procedures with the local health jurisdiction. So I'll turn it over to our local health officer, Dr. Chris Bitters, who can give us some details of where they're working on this patient right now. Chris?
Thank you, Scott. Last night, the Snohomish Health District coordinated with the Snohomish County Emergency Medical System to safely transport the patient to Providence Regional Medical Center in Everett. That facility is following our jointly developed infectious disease protocols to ensure prevention of transmission in the facility. As stated earlier, the risk to the general public is low. We are working with the medical center to ensure that the small number of healthcare workers and patients that may have been exposed are notified for symptom watch and are monitored. No one wants to be the first in the nation in these types of situations, but these are the types of situations that public health and its partners train and prepare for. Because of this, everything has been going along quite smoothly, and on behalf of the Snohomish Health District, I'd like to thank the Centers for Disease Control, the Washington State Department of Health, and Providence Regional Medical Center, as well as all of our local partners in Snohomish County for their support and collaboration in this effort.
Thank you all, and thanks to our colleagues in Washington State for their prompt action in working with this patient to get us so quickly to this point. I just want to add briefly that a CDC team has been deployed to support the ongoing investigation in the state of Washington, including tracing of close contacts to determine if anyone else has become ill. As always, CDC stands by to help our state, local, and global partners in any way we can. As I mentioned on Friday, we faced similar challenges before with SARS and MERS. These outbreaks were complex and required a comprehensive public health response. Based on that experience, we know it's crucial to be proactive and prepared. The confirmation that human-to-human spread with this virus is occurring in Asia certainly raises our level of concern, but we continue to believe the risk of this novel coronavirus to the American public at large remains low at this time. Activation of the Emergency Operations Center and the enhanced airport screening reflects the continuation of CDC's very aggressive public health response strategy. Enhanced airport screening is just one part of a layered approach to increasing the public health and healthcare delivery system to raising its awareness to properly detect these cases early. This individual had a high level of concern that enabled him to seek medical care promptly, and his clinicians appropriately evaluated and reported the patient to public health. I want to remind everyone that we're still in the early days of this investigation, both domestically and abroad. We're monitoring the situation closely and working to keep you informed every step of the way. I want to take a moment to again thank our colleagues in Washington at both the state and local level, as well as the healthcare staff that have been fully engaged in collaborating with us since yesterday when this case was identified as positive for coronavirus. Our ability to coordinate and react this quickly is entirely dependent on those collaborations. We're aware that the situation could change quickly. Therefore, we at CDC are taking a cautious approach to this outbreak and are prepared to respond quickly to any new developments. Benjamin, back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Messonnier. Sarah, we are now ready for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to unmute your phone and record your name. Please record your name so that I may introduce you for your question. And our first question comes from Helen Branswell with STAT. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my question. Can we get something clear off the top? This was supposed to be an embargo press conference, but this news is broadly out. So we can assume, yes, that the embargo is lifted, that what you have told us is free to use?
I understand the answer to that is yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, so my question, this individual, can you give us, I know you, we won't Can you give us any information about his condition? Is he ill? Does he have mild illness? And do you know if he went to a wet market in Wuhan, if he thought he had contact with people who were sick in Wuhan, or if there's no way to sort of judge where he might have been infected?
Washington State, that certainly seems to you.
So, Chris Spitters, we'll have you answer that.
So, regarding the patient's condition, they're in good condition, and again, they're currently hospitalized out of an abundance of precaution and for short-term monitoring, not because there was severe illness. And at this point, the individual has reported that that he did not visit any of those implicated markets and did not know anyone who was ill. He was just traveling from that area.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Evan Brown with Fox News. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. Just thinking back a number of years to the Ebola incident in Dallas, we saw a real push to not only have that gentleman placed into isolation care and then the other folks that who became ill into these, you know, very strict isolation standards types of rooms. Is this a scenario where this same contingencies are needed, or no? And what type of care is given to the patient for this? I mean, are they isolating him? And what type of medications can he get, or is it a matter of supportive care?
This is CDC. Maybe we'll give a general answer, and then Washington, you all can talk specifically about this patient. Thank you for that question. It's actually really important to clarify that the precautions for this patient are standard isolation precautions. This is something that many hospitals know how to do, and you know, we're grateful that in this region in Washington State, they were quite prepared for this contingency. So this is not a situation that was like that Dallas one. This is something where most hospitals, most regions should have a hospital that can utilize these kind of precautions. Washington?
Chris, we'll turn it over to you.
This is CDC. Maybe I'll also say that, you know, this is a hugely important issue. The health of our healthcare workers is very important to all of us, and we're practicing we're being very proactive at all levels to make sure that as much as possible the people that are taking care of this patient are careful and cautious, and CDC will be working closely with the state health department on the particulars of this patient's care.
Scott has something to add.
Yeah, and so just to answer you directly about this Dallas or the Texas incident, this is, again, not the same situation. And then plus, this is an area of the state that has drilled recently on transporting the person in an ambulance and what type of isolation they should require. And there's no question that there's isolation equipment available to the hospital. So, again, we're very comfortable that this patient is isolated, poses a very little risk to staff or the general public in his current situation. And, again, because of abundance of caution, we've used pretty strict isolation requirements and hospitalization because it's the first person in the United States. We will likely learn from this and future cases, and we'll adjust our recommendations accordingly.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Lena Sun with Washington Post. Your line is now open.
Hi. Do you see, could someone just go over the basics with us? When did this person arrive? Were they arrived through one of the airport screening locations, and were they on a direct flight from Wuhan? And what was the time frame? If you can say, is this person a resident of the United States and gone to China for business or pleasure, and then now is back and lives in the U.S.?
Great. Well, Scott Lindquist start, and then Chris, you can add.
Yeah, we can give you the detail we know, and again, that's our priority today is really get all the details of like flight numbers, seat numbers, and people that would have been exposed. But what we know currently is he preceded the institution of the screening at the airports. So he came in before that screening was done and was actually not with symptoms when he came into the United States. But this was a very astute gentleman that is looking at internet activity and actually had researched this and shared this information with his provider. We know it was not a direct flight from Wuhan to SeaTac, which is our local airport. And that's really, you know, our challenge coming forward. We had talked about this on Friday that while we weren't screening at SeaTac, we potentially could have a traveler that came through many different routes. So we decided to activate and be ready before all the screening airports were set in motion. So this gentleman kind of preceded and slipped around that type of screening, but was because the public health system was aware and because this is a really agreeable gentleman who was looking out for his health care, we were able to detect it early and really minimize any ongoing exposure to anybody.
So I have a follow-up question. I just want to make sure I understand. So this gentleman came to Seattle. You're not sure how. It was not a direct flight. And because he was monitoring the internet and he didn't have symptoms, when he started to get symptoms, then he proactively reached out to providers or health officials?
Correct. That's exactly how he did this.
Okay. Chris, anything you want to add?
Just to add on to the, he's been fully cooperative.
Okay. And is he a resident of the United States?
Yes, a resident of the U.S.
Okay. Thank you.
Lena, before we move on, I guess this is CDC, and I just want to say that, you know, as the situation and as the information has been accumulating over the weekend, CDC has been thinking and rethinking our stance, and we made some decisions on Sunday, even in advance of this case. And Dr. Marie Cetron, who many of you know, is going to maybe just tell you all where we are on that screening.
Yeah. First, I want to highlight the fact that, leave no doubt, entry screening is just one part of a multi-layered system. The point is to alert the system. Individuals are often very empowered to make good decisions if they're informed. Healthcare systems and public health departments, you just heard, are, you know, being alerted. The entry screening system is one part of that with notices going out. The screening system started after the Seattle case. This gentleman, you know, was indirect through, you know, through an indirect flight, not direct. But on over the weekend with the increasing cases, we decided to move into this full-on 100% coverage strategy, which means adding additional airports and instructing on Sunday the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Transportation, to begin our funneling approach and redirect all the traffic to airports that have screenings so that the benefit of the alert could be more completely covered. So that plan is in place. The new airports will be rolling online this week, and the operationalization of the funneling, which is a very complex process. It involves reissuing tickets and rerouting passengers from all over the globe through connecting and direct flights. All of that is part of the strategy that was actually initiated before we even heard about this case to complete that coverage.
I just have another follow-up question, just for the reporters would like to know the dates. When did this gentleman come to Seattle?
Our best understanding is on the 15th of January. The screening initiated on the 17th.
I know. And when did he reach out to providers?
Washington State, you all want to go ahead and talk about this?
Yeah, he actually reached out on the 16th.
Okay, was
to
that?
Yeah, this is Scott Lindquist.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, 19th. He actually reached out to his medical provider on the 19th. We were in communication with the CDC Emergency Operations Center, coordinating specimens that were shipped overnight and had the result the following day. Incredibly fast.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Grace Hauck with USA Today. Your line is now open.
Hi there. I'm wondering if this gentleman came through SeaTac, why screening is not also being implemented there. And for Atlanta and Chicago, has that screening already begun? Is it about to begin? And are there any other airports you're considering? And why exactly Atlanta and Chicago?
Washington, we'll take that from CDC. Marty, do you want to?
Yeah. So, no, the kind of active screening isn't in place in SeaTac. And as I indicated last Friday when we spoke, you'd have to go down to a lot of airports to do this at every across the country for every single possible flight. So we concentrate that by volume. And when we get to the top five, as we're looking at here in this regard, then we begin to redistribute the flights so that they can be concentrated in the airports. However, all 14 airports that had passengers had notices and have been put on alert, have been working from the airport quarantine stations with their public health partners. So, again, it's a multi-step process. It rolls out. And, in fact, this idea of funneling means redirecting, reissuing tickets. So all the arriving passengers from Wuhan would come into the airports that we can surge this capacity at. But all the airports are doing other steps, particularly passenger education, which, as you can see, is very important in this regard. And that education is in both English and Mandarin.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Ryan Bleffin from Seattle Times. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Ryan Bleffin, Seattle Times here. I wasn't let on the phone call until the question and answer period, so I might ask some things that were already covered. But where in Washington State is this man? And maybe we can start with that.
Maybe you could ask a few questions so that we can sort of kind of moving on. So if you could just maybe give us the series of questions you have.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious as to where he is in, I'm thinking, it's assuming it's Western Washington, which hospital is he at, and what are hospitals doing in Western Washington now to look for this? And also, on the screening question, is SeaTac going to be one of the airports that will be screening for this now?
So I think the first of those questions are for Washington State, and we can take the one about screening at SeaTac when you all are done.
Thank you.
Chris, we'll have you start.
Yeah, so the gentleman is a Snohomish County resident, and he is currently at Providence Medical Center.
Who was that who was just speaking?
This is Chris Bitters. I'm the health officer for Snohomish Health District.
Chris, okay, thank you.
And I think it's important to point out that all quarantine stations do enhanced education and respond to any illness report. I indicated that active screening, which is where every passenger is questioned and has a temperature check, is going on at the top three airports right now, JFK, San Francisco, which have direct flights, and LAX, which has most of the indirect flights. Additional screening will be added to Chicago and Atlanta this week and rolled out as soon as there's the capacity. And the rest of the airports, all the people who originate in Wuhan and travel into the United States, all those tickets will be rerouted into these five.
Okay. Thank you.
And this is Scott Lindquist, the state epidemiologist for Washington State. This is part of our larger plan of preparing all the hospitals and the healthcare systems for all hazard preparedness, which means Ebola, SARS, MERS, or in this case, the novel coronavirus. Most of these hospitals have been prepared with infection control, with how to sample, how to isolate, and we were well prepared, as this hospital was one of our hospitals that recently did a drill, as well as our ambulance system for transporting this patient.
And just sort of enforcing the layered approach here, hospitals need to be prepared, patient education. In this case, we don't believe, even if we had had active screening at the airport, that this patient would have been picked up, because at the time, we don't believe the patient had any symptoms or a fever. So this is the important piece about having a strong public health system all across this country that is prepared for this kind of biosecurity approach.
Who is that?
Two more questions.
That was John Wiesman, Secretary of Health.
Sarah, two more questions, please.
All right. Our next question comes from Ronnie Rabin with New York Times. Your line is now open.
I also came in very late, so forgive me if this, but right now, what is being done to, this appears to be spreading from human to human, so, or what steps are CDC taking to try to figure out how exactly it's transmitted? And there seem to be a lot of questions about that, and I assume you're working closely with Washington State, but I also was wondering if you have people in China who are working with the Chinese authorities.
This is CDC. As you say, there is.
And
now,
I'm sorry. Is this Nancy?
Yes, Dr. Messonnier. Sorry.
Thank you.
Sure. As you say, there is new information hour by hour, day by day, that we are tracking and following closely. We do have staff in China and Thailand. They have long-term placements there, working closely with the ministries of health. We also have staff in WHO, and we certainly have collaborators worldwide. We and the global health community are really working together to understand the situation. Information is rapidly evolving, and we hope that over the next coming days, the situation will become clearer. And certainly, as you point out, the key issue that we really all need to understand is how easily or sustainably the virus is spread from human to human, and that's information that we don't completely have nailed down yet, but we're continuing to work globally with all our partners to better understand it.
Thank you. And in the, can you hear me? So, in the case of the Washington patient, are his contacts being traced both in Seattle and back in China?
Dr. Wiesman?
So just a reminder of the timeline. So this gentleman presented on Sunday. Specimens were obtained. Result was learned on Monday. And today, Tuesday, our priority is doing contact investigation and tracing. So we have had three people assigned to us from CDC that are here, and that is our priority to determine what it means to be at risk, who those people are, doing the contact investigation all the way from China to his home here in Snohomish County. So that's exactly what our priority is right now, early in the investigation.
And I'm sorry, can you just repeat your name for me? Because I just came in late, so.
Okay, yeah, it's Scott Lindquist, and I'm the state epidemiologist for communicable disease for Washington State.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Messonnier. Just to add that we are grateful that the patient is doing well, and that he's clinically not ill, and that he has been so cooperative. Things have been moving quickly, and the health department has appropriately been prioritizing their activities. But there will be a whole set of activities to come in the coming days. But their first priority was clearly making sure that this patient was healthy and being appropriately treated as we move on to the next phase.
Last question, please, Sarah.
Our last question comes from Julie Steenhausen with Reuters. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, so we're just wondering, are you coordinating with the World Health Organization or the authorities in China in terms of how to treat this patient, and what treatments have you tried or are you using at this point?
So this is Dr. Messonnier from CDC. There is a global effort to share information about potential treatments. That's globally among the community of people that have dealt with similar issues with MERS and SARS, as well as intergovernmentally within the United States. So all those conversations are ongoing and very active. That being said, as our collaborators in Washington State said, this gentleman is right now very healthy, And I think it would be characterized that he's getting supportive care and monitoring. Washington, would you like to say anything else about his condition?
That's absolutely correct. I have nothing to add. Yeah, Chris Bitters, I'm the health officer for Snohomish County.
Thanks, Chris. And one more follow-up. So are you, is CDC working with NIH to develop a vaccine? And where is that effort, if so?
Yeah, so this will be Dr. Messonnier probably answer. NIH has, as always, been very active in this area, and there are there's early work and early conversations. As you know, development of vaccine is a complex process. It's not something that's going to be available tomorrow, but there are active conversations about vaccines as well as diagnostics.
Okay, thank you.
And that was our last question.
Thank you, Dr. Messonnier, Dr. Cetron, and our colleagues from the state of Washington. I'd also like to thank you all for joining us for today's briefing. Please visit the 2019 coronavirus webpage for continued updates. And if you have further questions, please call the CDC Media Office at 404-639-3286 or email media@cdc.gov. Thank you.
That does conclude today's call. Thank you all for participating. You may disconnect your lines at this time.